Let's clap and magnify the Lord together, everybody. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And there's no doubt that coming in such a beautiful edifice should be an enjoyable experience. Amen. The presence of the Lord is in the house. The good things of God are happening. Amen. I'm glad I can go to church, aren't you? Praise God. Somebody said one time, you know you're having church when you know you're having the right kind of church when you go home coming back to church. And so we hope everybody leave here tonight, wherever you come from, ready to go back, have church again this weekend. Amen. It's good to be in Jackson. And thank God for ice and snow and wonderful weather, closed airports, all that nice stuff that happens in the dead of winter. Amen. And I'm glad I finally made it. I was getting a little worried today at Dallas. They're talking about the weather getting bad again. And there's no experience like getting to stay in an airport for a few hours. Amen. But we're glad to be here. Feel the presence of God. I'm planning on making it to heaven, aren't you? Amen. I want to make it. Praise God. It's good to be here, Brother Kraft and church family. And be here, Brother Clark and the school body. Amen. And I trust that you've been having a great time in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I've heard nothing but good. Everybody I've talked to about the services has been raving about how great the preaching is. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost has been on the services. Amen. It was a revival service a few weeks ago in Lake Charles. It was on a Sunday morning. And at the close of the service, I felt the Lord impress me that in the future sometime that we would take a trip to Jerusalem and preach in Jerusalem. I was standing there on the platform kind of overwhelmed by it because I thought to myself, all the places to go and preach, Jerusalem. Young man come up to me while I was standing there and had my head bowed. And he said, Brother Morgan, I felt the Lord impress me to come up and tell you that yes, he did just speak to you about going to Jerusalem. And so I found a place of prayer and began to seek God about it. Later on in the week in prayer, the Lord dealt with me very strong and said, the reason why I told you that you'd go to Jerusalem is I'm letting you understand that the time of the Gentiles is about to be fulfilled. I'm going to turn back to the Jews. Amen. So we're here tonight. We don't have a lot of time left. Praise God. And so if you've ever decided that you're going to do something for God or be something for God or you're going to pray through or do whatever, I suggest that this is a good place to start. I suggest it's time that we give God everything we have. Well, praise God. And we're still here, and Y2K is over. It's like the little boy that cried wolf. Our society, our media is going to keep talking about that stuff until nobody believes it. And it's almost like it's a mockery now that, well, we prove that we're still here. But I'm telling you, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming. Amen. And what we must do quickly. Praise God. I feel confident tonight about the message that I'm about to preach, not because of the orator, but rather because that I feel the Holy Ghost has given definite direction for me to preach it tonight. Amen. I went to bed somewhere around 2 o'clock this morning, got back to the house, went to bed and got up a little after 4. Somewhere between 2 and 4, the Lord began to deal with me, woke me up twice. And I woke up with this message and burning in the Spirit. Amen. And then this afternoon in prayer, I felt a confirmation. Praise God. It's got a little different style than what I normally preach. But we're going to obey the Holy Ghost. I feel like taking something over tonight in the Spirit. I wonder where all my shouters went to. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm glad I can say I'm one of them. Amen. And I regret I wasn't here to hear the rest of the preaching. And Brother Scoggins, from what little bit I heard them talking about your sermon, I just kind of got a feeling that I'm fixing to pick up where you left off. Amen. Mark chapter number 4. You're really glad you're in the house of the Lord tonight. Praise God. I feel like I got some of you interested in church and some of you not interested in church. If you're not interested, you're dismissed right now in Jesus' name. The rest of us are going to stay and have a good time in the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Praise God. The South needs revival. I said the South needs revival. Praise God. Thank the Lord for what He's done, but I don't think He's finished. Amen. Mark chapter number 4, verse number 21. And He said unto them, is a candle brought. Everybody say brought. To be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, that it should come abroad. If any man have ears, let him hear. And He said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Amen. Everybody said amen. I want to preach tonight by the help of the Holy Ghost on the subject, vessels of truth. Vessels of truth. Amen. I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost here right now. Amen. I believe the Lord wants to stir us tonight. Praise God. Anybody really interested in the goodness of the Lord tonight and the presence of God touching you and changing your life? If you're really hungry for something from the Lord, I want you to lift your hand and your voices right now. Cry out to the Lord in Jesus' name. Praise God. I love you, Jesus.
Praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. In the name of the Lord.
Praise God. You may be seated. God bless you. Amen. Our text tonight is on the closing of the parable of the sower and the seed. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight that we belong to a church that still believes in the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Now we need to practice here just a second. I say something you believe, you say amen.
Amen.
And if you don't say amen, I don't think you believe me, and I will stay there for a while. Amen. But I'm glad that I was preached to, and I'm glad that my pastor preached the Word of God to me.
Amen.
Amen. I am thankful that I had the right kind of soil to respond to the preaching of the Word of God. I think that there must be an insight to preaching that we perhaps have gotten away from. Preaching was never intended to be a form of entertainment to spoiled Pentecostals. Amen. And there's a lot of things we can't do, so we come to church to hear our favorite preachers. And if you have this preacher, somebody will come. But what we must understand is that preaching is God communicating with us. It's God speaking His will and His purpose to us. Whether He whispers it butchers it, screams it, is an orator or not an orator. The bottom line is, when he's preaching the Word of God, there needs to be something in our hearts that says, I am begotten by this, I am kept by this, and this is what's going to get me to heaven. Well, praise God. Amen. Well, if he'll say the right thing, I'll respond. No, you won't. You're going to sit there like you've been sitting there all night anyhow. Well, if it's my favorite preacher, well, if that's what it takes, then you're going to be in trouble anyhow. Your favorite preacher may fall into immorality. I don't know. Amen. But I'm telling you, when there's a hunger in your heart that you decide, I don't care who's preaching, I've got to hear the Word of God, and I've got to be saved by the Word of God. Whether it's a Sunday night evangelistic service or a Wednesday night Bible study, the apostolics need a fresh revival of the hunger for the Word of God that calls out of their spirit, I need to be fed by the infallible Word of God. Oh, praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God. I get a little alarmed preaching in some places when I watch supposedly Holy Ghost-filled people as they drape their arms across the back of the pew. They look around like they don't know what's going on. They look at their watch from time to time. They act like they're so bored that they wish they weren't there. I see some I'm talking while the preacher's preaching. I see some past notes, some past babies. Some all of a sudden have kidney infection. Amen. All of a sudden everything breaks loose. I've seen the spirit of confusion come into the service when the preacher begins to preach, because the enemy knows if there's anything that's going to keep you going. Don't misunderstand me. It's not going to be the choir and their song. It's not going to be the program and some outreach out here. But it's going to be when the preacher walks to the pulpit and he begins to preach to you the Word of God. That's why when he starts preaching, your mind wants to wonder. And everything starts coming at you. But you've got to push it out and push it aside and say, that's what's going to get me from here to eternity. I've got to hear the Word of God. Jesus was quick to say, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like a wise man that builds his house upon the rock. I'm not building tonight upon the emotionalism of a service. I'm building upon something that John said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I'm talking about something that was here before I arrived or you was ever born. I'm talking about something that created everything that you see tonight and you witness. There is no power, no power like the power of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, when the Word come, he said, when it come, he said, did it come to be put under a bushel? Did it come to be hid under the bed? He said, oh no. He said, it was brought to be put on a candlestick. He said, there is nothing hid from you that I don't want to manifest. I want to reveal everything there is to know about me. I want to reveal my Word to you. That's what tickles me about the Trinitarians. They say, well, it's a mystery in concern to the Trinity. It's a mystery and God has not revealed it. But yet Paul told us that it is a mystery, but yet God has revealed it unto those who have a hunger in their heart. I'm telling you, there is nothing in the Word of God that God will keep from you and hide from you. He will manifest it if you got a desire in your heart and you got a hunger. I've got to know Him. I've got to fellowship with Him. I've got to have the Word of God. Praise God. He said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Then he starts by saying, I want you to take heed to what you hear. He said, for with what measure it is meted, or what measure you mete out to hear, is the measure that I will use to determine how much word you receive. Amen. Every person in this building tonight is going to set the measure And you're going to determine tonight, in your lifetime, how much truth and how much word you receive. Not God, not the angels. Jesus said, you are the one to determine. For with what measure you meet, it shall be meted unto you. You are the one to determine the size of truth, the amount of truth that is into your spirit and given to you by revelation. Stay with me just a second. Amen. He said, but I want to tell you something. And the terminology and the wordology here is a little tricky if you're not careful. He said, because if you're willing to hear and you're willing to receive, he said, more shall be given unto you. He said, but I'm going to tell you what I'll do. He said, for he that hath, to him shall be given. And he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Now, when I first read that, I thought, that's a little confusing to me. How can he take what he has, but yet turn around and say, but what you've got and what you have, I'm going to take even more from you and give it to somebody else. And I thought, now, that's a little confusing to me. And I'm maybe a little more dense than some of you here, you deep theologians that are here tonight. But I kept thinking, it don't make sense to me. How he that hath not, he doesn't have it, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And then I got a little inspiration, and I seen something. See, the test of a man's sincerity is not the fact that he just boasts that he's sincere. The test of a man's sincerity is in the fact that when truth is presented to him, whether or not he accepts truth or rejects it. And Jesus said, here's the test. He said, when I find somebody who is willing to receive truth and hold to truth, he said, I find somebody that I can give more to. But when I find somebody that truth is presented to them, not only would I allow what I am presenting to them to be taken, but I'm even going to take what they've already seen and give it to somebody who wants to hold it and somebody who wants to contain it. That's why I started out tonight by telling you, when the preacher's preaching, you ought to be real careful what you're doing and how you're responding. Because the eyes of the Lord go to and fro. And I believe while the preacher's preaching, the eyes of the Lord watch your response. And when he finds somebody that pushes truth aside and says, I really don't want to live like that. And I don't want to do that. And I don't think that's necessary. He says, all right, that's fine. I'm not going to cast pearl before swine. I'm going to take what I was trying to give to you. I'm going to find somebody else in the congregation. I find somebody else in the community. I find somebody else in the nation that has a hunger in their heart for the Word of God. Oh, clap your hands and magnify the Lord. Praise God. I want to read to you from the book of Hebrews, a particular text, and I have no doubt that many of you have heard it before, but I want to read it to you because there's something here that I need to tie in so you would understand my subject and my title. Amen. In Hebrews chapter number 2, verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. He said, I have brought it to you. I brought it to the apostles. I gave it to the disciples. I told them what to preach. I manifested my word to them. They brought it to you. How can they hear except the preacher be sent? He's going to preach to you the gospel. After the gospel is preached to you, it is up to you to respond. It is up to you to believe the report of the Lord. The arm of the Lord will never be revealed except to those who believe what is being preached. The writer, I feel Paul is the writer of Hebrews. You can debate that whether or not you want to. That's up to you. But I want you to understand how he started that. He first begins by saying, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. I read that the other day, and I thought, now, I think I understand what that means. And then I looked down at the footnotes and a little note down there, and it made the statement, lest we let them slip. And I looked down there, and it said this, like a leaking vessel. Like a leaking vessel. So I went to studying it out. It ties in with Mark chapter 4, where something had been given to someone which was contained. When Jesus said, he that hath, the word hath means he that has held on to. He that has contained. He that has maintained. And here the writer says, you don't want it to slip. So what you've got to do is, you've got to pay and take earnest heed to the things that you have heard. Lest at any time, he said, you become like a leaking vessel. Or something starts flowing out of you. You start losing something. Just trust me, I know where I'm going tonight. Amen. He said, you need to understand that the things that you have heard, you've got to remember them. You've got to take heed to those things. Don't forget what you've heard. Don't think it's always just going to abide there. You've got to learn. And Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. You've got to recognize with me tonight, it is easy sometimes to get caught up in a lot of things in life. And you forget to think about the things of God.